It's so funny how it doesn't do a 3-2-1 when unless there's video.
You don't have to do 3-2-1. Don't you watch those commercials?
No.
LL Cool J on the insurance commercial with the guy taking a selfie. Okay, 3-2. You don't have to count down.
Karate in the Garage. I'm Corey Cope.
I'm Freddie Wolf.
It is March 11th, 2023 with number dos.
March 11th.
It's March Madness. Damn it.
March Madness.
Yeah. We just wrapped up our two-parter with Brent Simons, which was our fourth film media, right?
Sure. And that was fun, man.
That was a good one. Rocky's one of those ones, just like with the other ones we did, we just like, oh, wow. They're movies you've seen. It's just that have you really seen
or not seen
or not seen with, you know, with adult eyes, which has been a lot of our revelations the last year or so of watching movies. Like, damn, man, I'm really changed and for the better for the project that we're watching. It seems like we end up liking things a lot differently because we just see them totally differently. And yeah. Like what was the movie we were watching? We had seen, we're like, oh, it was Mortal Thoughts. All of a sudden we flip-flopped our opinion about a character being a victim, but really being manipulator,
the fucking
whole thing. Yeah, that was pretty great. Cause same thing with Disclosure. I remember me such a different movie. I'm like, it's a chuckle fest, that one, as my dad would say.
You want to get rid of your husband? Just convince your best friend. Dude, it was weird. Like I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, it's kind of weirdly Hitchcockian. It's like, it's like Strangers on a Train a bit.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Parts of it anyway. But, it's definitely, it was definitely a revelation.
Yeah. I still feel like Mortal Thoughts might be one of the most, I don't want to say flip flops. We both have this fondness for the movie, but usually when we flip flop, it's like, I like it better than I did, or or don't like it as much as I used to. But this one was like, I think I liked it more, but it was really about the change in how you saw the movie and how you saw the characters. And it was one of those, oh, I didn't see this. It was like, it was a total thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you haven't seen Immortal Thoughts, damn it, it'll blow your mind.
Blow your mind.
Water. I like water. Hey, so finally, with this thing we talked about for months and months or so, the camera and 4Ks are coming out for Aliens, True Lies, and The Abyss. Fortunately, it's not tied to Walmart, so they'll actually come out.
Yes.
And we know when they're coming out. They're coming out tomorrow, the 12th. Some people are already starting to get theirs. So.
I'm never pre-ordering anything again.
My pre-orders got here. I don't...
If I happen to be... I'll get it. I'm just saying I'm not, personally. Everybody else do what the fuck you want, but me, no.
I'm starting to wonder if Walmart's getting all these exclusives, and fine, whatever, if these end up being the kind of things that we were seeing at Best Buy, cool. Are we going to see the kind of shortages that we saw with Best Buy? You know, because when it comes to selling optical discs, there's no bigger global reseller of physical media than Walmart. So normally in the past, if one store at Best Buy would have gotten 5 copies of that Steelbook, is it like that with every store? Is it going to be?
Who knows? I mean, maybe they get, you know, more. But also I got to say, I feel like people are less inclined to want to run into Walmart than they were Best Buy.
No, and I'm not in disagreement, but as soon as you order 2 movies, you have free shipping. Best Buy, you have to spend like $35 before they give you free shipping. Defeats the purpose of, I mean, that is one other thing though with the Steelbooks, most of them, they're kind of overpriced. You know, there's nothing special on them. That Lords of Dogtown, I wanted because I worked on it, but I had never, it was $19.99 and there was like one featurette on it, which I'm in the background, you can see me, but that's it. I don't know, man.
Weird.
I don't know. Anyway, but there's lots of things coming out. a movie that's a massive favorite of ours and we've yet to cover it. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out when we cover it. But Quickly Down Under is finally getting its 4K release. And this is Wish Out. I mean, this movie, again, it's a dad movie through and through because I never would have sat down to watch this if it wasn't sitting down with on HBO with my dad. And I'm like, oh, this is good. And I started discovering that almost every feature film that Tom Selleck did is fucking awesome. So I kind of,
dude, Tom Selleck. Yeah, dude, we should do a whole, I mean, honestly, we should do a whole month dedicated to the mustache.
That is the move because shit, I'm blanking. What's the best Armstrong one?
High Road to China.
Yeah, dude. So good. So good.
Dude, and it's like an innocent man. The Peter Yates movie that he did with, where he's unjustly put in prison.
Yeah.
Lassiter.
And we have to do it. You know what we have to do.
Don't say In and Out.
Gotta do Runaway. Don't gotta do Runaway.
Of course we have to do Runaway. We have to do Runaway. I mean, dude, it's funny. There's not enough weeks in the month to do all the good Tom Selleck movies that I would like to do. What's the other one? Dude, Folks with him and
we were talking about that. Yeah. When did that come up?
That came up, fuck, I don't know. We were talking about, it was some other,
I don't know.
It was something, we talked about that. We talked about Passed Away. I think it was it when we were talking about Nothing in Common and Memories of Me, like all those movies, like the, you know, those heartbreaking, yeah, My Dad's Dying movies that they made in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where Folks came up, I believe.
Now I'm trying to figure out, like, when was that conversation in relationship to my personal life? When the fuck would I brought that up?
It was well after.
Okay.
It's been in the last 6 months we talked about it.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it fucking hurts. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Sorry, dude. Didn't mean to.
It's just one of those dumb things. But no, Quickly Down Under was something I probably saw just as much as I saw Die Hard with my dad. I think, you know, that was one of those ones that, and maybe it's just because he had a massive fondness for Alan Rickman that he was like, why doesn't this guy do more movies? And I'm like, he does, Dad. There's just British movies he don't watch.
Robin Hood. The funny thing
don't
is,
pull that. No, he wants to watch good movies.
For me, well, Rickman's good in it.
Well, he's great in it.
For me, the funny thing is, I think I saw Quickly Down Under, oddly, because I had just discovered Laura San Giacomo.
Yeah, dude, she's so hot in that.
And and she's great in it. And and Selleck's great too. Selleck in a Western, dude, come on. It's not a hard sell.
How weird was it for you though, to go from having this fondness for her, because she's wonderful in Sex Lies also, to end up working with her on...
Yeah. That was cool, man. I mean, yeah. I worked with her for 2 years. She's one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah, she seems like she would be.
Yeah.
I love when she came back because she and, what do you call it? I wanted to call him Elliot. What is wrong with me?
Calling Tony?
Yes, I know his name. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have sat around and tried to remember what his name was on Just Shoot Me. That just popped into my head like it was his real first name, and I'm like, that was weird. She comes back, they have a little reunion on Veronica Mars, the two of them, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, she's worked a ton since Just Shoot Me too. It's just, you know, what was the there was a show with her and Holly Hunter. She came on, I think, the third or fourth season of that show. But yeah, Laura's cool, man. One of the nicest people ever. Real salt of the earth. Yeah, but Quigley, dude, Quigley's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's one of the best Westerns, of the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Better than Unforgiven.
I think I probably have an edit to make somewhere or earlier.
Why? You can leave that in. I don't care that anybody knows I don't like Unforgiven. It sucks. Fucking snooze fest.
Oh, she's on the Santa Clauses.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that, though. Oh, man, she did a whole bunch of time on the OG NCIS towards the end. She must have been like a hookup for Mark Harmon. So my mom loves watching NCIS, right?
Right.
My mom is the target audience for the CBS dramas like that. And Mark Harmon's always been her jam. Like, St. Elsewhere, she could give two shits about the show, but Mark Harmon's on it, so she watched it.
Sexiest Man Alive in 1985.
We were watching NCIS when they put up the David McCallum obit ahead of the episode or at the end of the episode, whatever. It was funny because I was like, I was asking my mom, I said, hey, at what point is this in the show? I'm curious of why McCallum is in this one. Is this one of the ones after he passed? And she goes, and then of course there he is, you know, playing Ducky. He shows up. And then at the end of that episode is when they put the obit up. I'm like, oh shit. We were literally watching his last episode. And I was wondering, cause I don't watch the show with any regularity. I watch it when just like quickly with my dad, I only watch it in CIS when I'm with my mom. It's my mom's show. Your mom's got Dodgers. My mom's got Mark Harmon.
Sure.
So they're CBS dramas.
Fucking Presidio, man. Come on. Summer School.
My mom can't watch Two and a Half Men anymore. I meant to mention this when it came up, but that was like, she used to watch it with my dad. So she, but just the things that they watch together, she can't watch together right now. I said, why don't you watch Two and a Half Men? She goes, I can't watch that. I can't watch that. I go, but you watch Big Bang Theory. And she goes, no, it's different, but that's, I'm like, okay, if you say so.
Separate, but not equal.
Yeah, I suppose.
Saving Grace was the show I was trying to think of with Holly Hunter that Lois Angelico. She played Retta Rodriguez. It's on Hulu. First three seasons, anyway.
Hulu.
Or maybe that's all there is. It's three seasons. I forget. But yeah, I think it was a TNT show when it came on. When I was, it's been off the air for quite a long time.
Yeah, and she popped up on things here and there. Like she popped up on Medium, and she popped up on... Was that Hot in Cleveland? Gosh, I would have bet money Hot in Cleveland was maybe 10 years ago, but no, it was like 13.
It's been a while, man.
It ran 2010 to 2015.
She was on Barry recently. Plays Annie Eisner.
Yeah.
Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah. She works, you know, I still like, you know, have a fondness for her. She was on Animal Kingdom. She's worked a ton. I mean, I'll go out of my way sometimes to watch things just if she's in it because I enjoy her work. Oh. Best thing in Pretty Woman, Kit.
I know. I really thought Jason Alexander.
Kit DeLuca.
All right. So, hey, to kind of wrap up the whole Blu-ray talk, there was, what was the one thing? Oh, ISS, our friend Nick Schaefer, who wrote ISS as a spec and was made during the pandemic, like the serious lockdown. One of the first things that came back and was shooting fully masked up, crazy COVID protocol kind of movie. It hit a while back and was hitting smaller festivals and we had the short theatrical run and it is out on Blu-ray on Tuesday the 12th. You can pre-order that now anywhere. And it's only like $12.59 for the Blu-ray. I don't know if it's got anything extra on it because it shows that it's just the back of the card, but you never know what that actually is. It doesn't see anything on there. Maybe we can get him to come on and do a commentary, but that movie got a lot because he was on the blacklist, his movie, his script. So that always helps, right?
Yeah.
You get on a blacklist. But the danger, of course, was the pandemic and how it affected everybody. There you go.
That old
Nick
pandemic.
Schaefer, screenwriter, ISS, International Space Station.
Sure.
Yay. There was something else on that list, too, that was right up our alley. And it's not the Event Horizon Steelbook because it's just that's not even the release you want anyway.
No, it's not, man. Just get the other one. Just get the Shout Factory with everything on it. All the way, this is streaming in 4K on Paramount Plus, too, because I put it on the other night when I couldn't sleep.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was there.
So if you want to see it in 4K, it's on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Dude, Paramount Plus has been pretty rad about that stuff. I just saw something else that was in 4K and surprised me.
Oh.
So lots of stuff out there for you guys to consume in Aquaman 2.
That is correct. And Aquaman 2, the Revenge of Fish Man, Stingray, whatever the fuck his name is. No desire to see it. Look, I liked the first Fish Gordon for what it was. I don't need the sequel.
No.
Fish. No. Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that is so, and I know it may sound odd to
hear this. I think nobody
this.
Needed that sequel. And I feel like even Jason Momoa like was like, yeah, here, I'm not going to promote this.
I don't need this
that
money.
Movie, like, tanked, right? It like literally just went
pfft. Yeah, I just think pretty much everything surrounding Warner Brothers right now is got this stank on it across the board. I didn't say this. So last Friday Wonka premiered on Max. I'm gonna promote them now.
We did so say
if
that.
If
we
you never saw Wonka, there it is for it. You. It's lovely and it's enjoyable. Don't listen to what anybody else says unless they tell you the it's an enjoyable
movie.
Wait
a second. I'm having deja vu. We did talk about Wonka.
And we did, but but it's on Max now. I'm just reminding people that it's good, but it's all now it's more readily available because it came out on Max on Friday.
That is true. I got fucking three notifications from Amazon, from Max, and from Amazon.
I wish there's a way to turn that shit off. You know, that they're always pushing their prime, you know, their associative prime channels.
Yeah.
Or basically subs with inside Prime. I'm like, give me a discount there. That's going to work.
Right.
Anyway, I'm going to fucking bellyache about that. Hey, so before we get to our weekly vidiots roundup, because there have been some additions for March and then one for April, that one, if you were online anywhere, that April one will make some sense to you. You actually went to a screening this weekend or at the end of last week.
Right.
For something.
Yeah. On Thursday, man, I found myself in the Los Feliz area and I was like, well, you know, Peter Medic's not getting any younger. I wonder if there's any tickets left for Romeo's Bleeding. And sure as shit there were. So, I bought one and hung out and I went to the LF3 and it was a rainy night. There was that weird sort of bizarre hailstorm right around 5 o'clock. The day had been sunny and then it just started raining like a motherfucker. Me and like 25 of my closest friends, it wasn't sold out, but again, it was a weird rainy night. And I think it's also a movie that the people who were there, dude, were into it. Cause the dude sitting next to me, I'm listening to him. He's like, I can hear him reciting the fucking dialogue during the movie, which I thought was weird, but you know, whatever. Hey man. But he was literally, and I turned to him once. He goes, this is my favorite Oldman movie by far. And I was like, okay, quiet. And then the movie started. And then he started reciting all of the dialogue under his breath. I don't even know if you knew he was doing it. It's like when people read books and their lips move. but Peter Medic was there. And I say Medic, but it's Medic. Peter Medic. Peter Medic was there. And he, you know, super cute old man version of Peter Medic. And he did a nice introduction, talked about the film, talked about how he, Oldman had brought him the script. And said, hey, if you can figure out what the fuck this script is, let's make it. Jeez. And I want to say, I haven't seen the movie. I saw this movie in the theater the weekend it came out. And I hadn't seen it a whole bunch since then. I've seen it a few times, like on VHS, but I hadn't seen it in such a long time that I kind of forgot most of the, not the plot and stuff. I remembered that, but the, you know, pieces get hazy. And you kind of also forget who's in this movie. But fuck, dude, the cast in this movie is crazy. Yeah. I want to say this. After seeing it in a theater 30 years after the first time I saw it, roughly, still don't know what the fuck's going on. but it's not about the end. It's about the journey to get to the end. And, dude, Lena Olin's performance is still fucking... It's standout. It's so good.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite Oldman performances because I feel like he's less... There's some restraint shown in this movie that's not maybe not shown in some of his other big performances that people fawn over. But he's great as Grimaldi. But dude, Juliette Lewis, this is right after Cape Fear, so this is kind of at the height, and she's great. But like, dude, people that you forget are in this movie. Will Patton is in this movie. Michael Wincott, dude. I was like, what the fuck? And he shows up. I mean, he doesn't look like the Michael Wincott we're used to seeing, but you hear that voice and you're like, holy fuck, where's Michael Wincott? Oh, God, that's him. But Wincott's in this movie. James Cromwell's in this movie. Annabella Sciorra. Dude, Ron Perlman shows up. And I was like, I had no recollection of Ron Perlman being in this movie. Scheider, of course. And then all these little characters, like sort of, you know, New York character actors. And this is a New York that we don't see a lot. When you look at like, you know, they chose some interesting locations. It was great to hear Medic talk about it. You know, and then I realized, and I think we might have talked about this during Ghost Story. There's like four or five Peter Medic movies that are fucking fantastic. And they're all movies that I love. And you know, and again, he's kind of a director who didn't, you know, he never got stuck in a genre. He's not making the same movies. You know, he's not making that same genre movie over and over and over.
Right.
And this is his crack at a sort of 90s erotic action thriller, which, and again, this movie has got so much weird comedy in it that it's different from all those other films like Shattered and Dead Again and
Yeah.
You know, he threw his hat into that ring and, you know, he made this wild, fucking just bizarre, fun movie, man.
Yeah. She's being specifically to Juliette Lewis. You know, we're a year out from playing Mallory Knox in Natural Born Killers. And to see this, you can see the seeds that would become that performance. Because she's so, there's that window, right? This, like she had 3 years in a row. She had Romeo is Bleeding, then she had Natural Born Killers, and then she had Strange Days the next year. Mm-hmm. And if we talked about those 90s movies, right, with Demi and how she was doing her thing, Juliette Lewis was carving a little existence out too in that window of time. And for her to do 3 movies in a row with standout performances, granted, I mean, she was the co-lead in the second of those 3 movies I mentioned, but she's fucking fantastic. Yeah, but Romeo's Bleeding is one I haven't seen in a long time. When it came up, I was kind of like, oh man, I would love to go see it. And we were both kind of on the fence about what do we have availability. I couldn't have gone anyway because it was a Thursday. But it's on Freevee. It's on Pluto. And I think it's on a few other places too right now.
Yeah, it's on Roku, it's on the Roku channel.
Tubi as well. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, all the freebies. But it's one, I think, if you haven't seen it before, everybody's heard of it. If you're over 30, you've heard of it. Now, have you seen it? It's another story. But it's, like you noted, Medic has this thing where you would not know this is the same guy that did Ghost Story. You know, there's a...
Or The Craze, or Let Him Have It.
Nothing, I mean, he was just one of those guys that made movies because he wanted to. There was no like, hey, this is going to go over well. This is going to go over well. He wasn't thinking about his... He just thinking about this would be fun to go shoot this movie with these people.
It wasn't Ghost Story he directed. It was Changeling.
Changeling, sorry.
That's okay. I just want to correct it before we let that go.
No.
Dude, it's crazy, dude. I didn't realize until I was watching. I forgot. But you know this... Oh, you haven't seen the movie in a long time. But there's a sequence in the movie where they're at Coney Island. And it's this weird dream sequence where it's a flashback. Whatever it is, you know, I'm not sure. The whole movie seems like a dream. And I'm convinced that Oldman's dead. None of this really ever happens.
Right.
But I forgot Medic directed, I think he directed the pilot of HBO's Carnival and several of the episodes, because that moment at Coney Island with all the circus freaks and everything, literally, I was like, holy shit, Carnival.
Maybe. Oh, Hillary Hinken is, I should know her, that she wrote the screenplay for this. And, you know, she got nominated, didn't win for Wag the Dog. She co-wrote with David Mamet. But before this, she did Roadhouse. I mean, after this, she Roadhouse in 89, Wag the Dog was in 97. So yeah, she had some fun stuff this year. But Fatal Beauty, man. The awesome Fatal Beauty from Tom Holland.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
With Whoopi and Sam. So just for, he directed just the Black Blizzard episode of Carnival, which is episode 4, season 1, but it's a good one. But again, like if you look him up, dude, he's directed just a lot of different stuff, even the television work that he's done. But you know, it was part of American Cinematheque. So there's a Peter Medic retrospect going on right now, and if you can get to the Arrow to see The Ruling Class on the 21st, I highly suggest you do it. Yeah. It's one of Peter O'Toole's best performances, and it's Medic got 20 years before Romeo is Bleeding. You know, I mean, again, long career, this guy, man. I mean, I never remember how many of his movies I dig until I'm looking at him.
Right.
So, yeah, man. But it was, you know, it was a nice screening. There was, there were enough people there for it to be appreciative and worth his time. He was there with his family and sitting in the back. And yeah, it was, it was funny because a lot of people hadn't seen it and people were fawning over him, like, you know, at the end, like, oh my God, that's mind blowing. And, you know, and to watch him sort of like take it all in was cool, man. That's one of the best things about going to these things.
Just so you know, you the one that said Ghost Story before I did.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm just saying.
It's why it was in my head.
I was correcting it because I was like, fucking Ghost Story. What the fuck am I talking about?
if you would have asked me, I wouldn't have remembered which one he did because it was all not want to say jumbled up, but it was all kind of together. So, it was weird. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Yes, The Changeling. And doesn't change the fact that what we talked about is his variety of projects that he take on. That still doesn't change the fact that Peter Medic makes different movies every time out. He doesn't make like things there. That was the point, really. Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, interesting, fun stuff.
So here's our weekly videos update. We're not going to give it to you all again. We're just going to give you some of the updates. The update comes as soon as this Thursday. What do we have Thursday?
Thursday. You mean on the 14th of Thursday? Yeah, we have Paul Verhoeven's Total Recall.
Oh my God.
Total Recall. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Michael Ironside. Rachel Ticketon. Ronnie Cox. And Sharon Stone. What? Among others.
Sharon Stone's in that? No kidding.
Yeah, man. Early Sharon Stone.
Early.
I think this is this is the movie that led her to be in Basic Instinct.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Verhoeven must have seen her in King Solomon's Mines and been like, I need to cast her.
That's how she got into Total Recall.
Yeah, 100%. Or Above the Law. I'm not sure whichever. One of those fantastic movies. They were like, we got to get her in Total Recall.
It's so funny when you think about Seagal and his history of women. How it's like, if you haven't seen Above the Law in a long time and then you're like, wait, is that Sharon Stone? They have her, the way they have her all dolled up like Chicago style.
Yeah.
Her hair. Nico.
Her hair. Well, dude, also, you know what I always forget? I always forget when I watch Above the Law is that fucking Pam Grier is his partner.
Pam Grier. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, who would have thought?
Yeah.
But yes. So yeah, that's your first change. Then we go a few days later. There's a few things on Friday, but not worth mentioning.
No way, dude. Memories of a Murder.
Yeah. Okay. Memories of a Murder.
The other one we won't talk about.
I mean, I'm just saying Memories of a Murder. I mean, it's there. Yeah. And you know, it's a long movie, 131 minutes.
Was Mamma Mia on it last week? Or
Mamma Mia was not on it last week,
sorry.
But it is now. Let's just jump ahead to Mamma Mia on Saturday. You can see it paired with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. And there you have it. Mamma Mia, movie I've never seen.
I like it.
And then toward the end of the next week, Friday, March 22nd.
I know.
Rachel Talalay's Tank Girl.
Tank Girl. Love that fucking movie.
Yeah. Dude, what a crazy, and that's got a wild cast too. Naomi Watts, early Naomi Watts, Lori Petty, Ice-T, Jeff Kober, who we know from everything, you know, always playing the bad guy. Wasn't he in Cobra?
And Malcolm McDowell playing
Malcolm McDowell playing Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing his Malcolm McDowell thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love that movie. And if you'd asked for a top five 90s soundtracks, that's my top five. Devo's redoing of Girl You Want, and they end up using the beginning of the opening credits for this, which is fantastic because they show all the art from the graphic novel and everything. I fucking love Tank Girl. It's one of those ones where I don't think the studio knew what they had. I don't think they knew what to do with it. And so it never really got promoted right. It's quintessential 90s beyond its music, because it just feels like a movie where somebody said, all right, here's a bunch of money. And then they got to see dailies. They're like, wait, what are we paying for?
Here's a bunch of money and a bunch of cocaine. Go lose yourself in the desert. Yeah, I think, you know, I want to say Ridge Carthay is in this film as well. Probably no Reg. Am I butchering Reg's last name, or am I wrong? Is he not in Tank Girl? I'm pretty sure he is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Rachel Talalay directed, if you're horror, your genre fan, then you know that she did Freddy's Dead. She's done a lot of producing too. So it wasn't just like directing situations. Like, she has lots of television, but I want to say she produced a whole bunch of stuff for writing lots of movies and stuff, but she did Crybaby, and then she produced Dreammaster. And Dream, but she was a line producer on Dream Warriors. So she kind of worked her way up in the franchise to finally direct something. But she produced Book of Love.
Right.
The Robert Shea movie.
Right. The Book of Love. What was that kid's name?
How many movies did Bob Shea actually direct? Did he do a lot?
I'm going to say no.
No. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm
going to guess no, but
I adore this movie. It's Chris Young and Keith Coogan, and it's just...
Chris Young.
It's one of those fun movies where they kind of do like a flashbacky thing, and it it works really well. I think Chris Young is one of those guys that really I thought was going to come out of the kid acting thing and kind of build on that. But no, Topher Grace was there to take that mantle because he kind of is that guy. But Josie Bassett's in it. Danny Nucci's in it, who's always a fun guy. But Trisha Lee Fisher is the one that he shows up to at the end. Again, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, it's only a rent or buy. You can't get it. It's a DVD only kind of situation, which sucks because it's funny. Don't mistake this for a movie called Book of Love that came out in 2022 that's currently streaming on.
Book of Love, 1990.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Get with it.
Anyway, so back to Idiots.
There you go. So yeah, Reg was in Tank Girl. So there you go, Tank Girl. And then you get into the celebration of Doug Jones over the weekend there on Saturday, March 23rd.
Any chances, by the way, any chance to see Singing in the Rain, which is part of that celebration, see it because the movie's so fantastic. It's like my favorite musical ever and it's pretty great.
I'd say, man, out of those three movies, the one I'm excited about is Paul Mazursky's Harry and Tonto.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I saw that anywhere, even a new Bev, like being scheduled. But there Harry it Tonto? Is.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw it like during, when was it? I don't know. I saw it a long time ago. God, probably over 10 or maybe 15 years ago, like 2010 or somewhere.
Yeah.
As you get older, the movie gets better because it means it shows itself to you different.
Yeah, because you got post I Dream of Jeannie and pre Dallas Larry Hagman in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And you get Chief Dan George, you know, a couple years before Josie Wales, you know, a couple years after Little Big Man, Alan Burstyn, Geraldine Fitzgerald, and the lovely, fantastic Art Carney.
Yeah. It's a lovely movie. I like it a lot.
Yeah, so that's Idiots update for the for this
week.
Oh,
no, there's one more. There's a Moana sing-along on Saturday, March 30th.
What is Moana again?
It's animated
Disney thing. Right. I don't know. I don't have kids, man. I've never seen Moana.
Oh, and they did add Vera Drew's The People's Joker. This is a bandied about spoof of DC and Joker, as I understand it. I didn't get into it too far, but People's Joker, April 19th at the Idiots. I'm surprised that sold out. Yeah, they must have just added it because usually that kind of movie sells out fast.
The People's Joker. There it is, man.
Oh, okay. So this week, this Wednesday on Patreon, this Friday for public release, will be the 1st of March Madness.
To be or not to be.
I love it's perfect that we've given it a subtitle like we have to be or not to be because almost every movie we cover has a subtitle.
Yes.
When we do these to be movies.
So. I mean, they all do because I also love the fact that it never gives us a straight up, it always gives us a sequel.
Right. Because after we watch this one, the sequel, you know, we're not covering the movie, so I'm going to say what it is. They give us Tekken, but doesn't really, it's Yakuza's, was that what that was called?
Yeah, Somebody's Revenge.
Yeah, Somebody's Revenge. And if some places you look, it says Tekken 2, and some places it just says Tekken with the subtitle. Even though it's quote unquote Tekken 2, it's a prequel from what I did some research on. So go figure.
Right. Tekken 2 Electric Boogaloo, as I like to say.
Anyway, so yeah, that's good stuff. If you haven't had a chance to get on that Brit Simon stuff, that both episodes are already out. The Filmnesia episode was dropped last week. But previous week, it was the interview. And if you haven't had a chance to see Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate or Megamind Rules on Peacock, there they are. If you need to do the whole bunch, it's got the OG on there too. So just, I don't know, smoke a ball. Okay.
They're all there. Kick back. Do your thing.
Get some food delivered to the house. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Some of that stuff. Whatever you want to do, man.
Megamind.
Kick your shoes off.
Megamind.
Pick your toes. Whatever. I don't give a shit.
Gross. Do that thing. Never mind. I don't want it. All right, so if you want to follow the show on the socials, it's at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. You can follow Corey on Letterboxd at Corey_Culp. And if you want to follow Corey on Insta, it's Culper97. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, it's patreon.com/karatepod.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at Rock and Roll 33 on Instagram, or you could follow me at The Last Boy Scout at Letterboxd. That's The Last Boy Scout. Joe Hallenbeck. Or you could follow me at The Real John Ladd on Blue Sky. That's The Real John Ladd at Blue Sky.